I know in the world right now there's a lot of controversy, political controversy in this great land that we live in, but a lot of that is filtered into the National Football League, and there's probably a lot of you in here that follow football, and some of you may have elected to boycott it and different things like that. So this is not a political ploy at all this morning, but we actually have a clip of professional football that I'd like for you all to watch. And as we get ready to watch it, I want to tell you just a little bit about it here. I can get my machine working right. Here we go. I want to tell you about a guy named Jim Marshall. Now, Jim Marshall might not ring a bell to you, but Jim Marshall actually played football for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I'm sure there's probably not an Ohio State fan in this room, right? That's good. He played football for the Ohio State Buckeyes in the late 50s, before I was born, actually. And he moved into pro football without finishing his college career. He moved into pro football as a college senior at Ohio State, but he moved into the Canadian Football League. And but eventually he would be picked up by the Cleveland Browns in a fourth round draft pick in 1960. Some of y'all wonder how long ago that's been. Well, you look at Nathan and you can tell, you know. fourth round of the 1960 NFL draft. Now, Jim Marshall would then be traded after 1 year. He would be traded to the Minnesota Vikings. Any Vikings fans in the room? No, I didn't think so either. No Browns, no Vikings fans. After one season, he would go to the Vikings. He would play for the Minnesota Vikings the remainder of his career as a defensive end. You know, and that's a key position. Of course, all of them are important in teamwork. But that was a key position as a defensive end. Jim Marshall would play until 1979. For the Minnesota Vikings. He would play right alongside of the infamous Fran Tarkenton. Many of you all may have heard that name through time more so than Jim Marshall. But when Jim Marshall retired, he retired with a very impressive resume, if you would, a retirement resume. Jim Marshall played in 282 consecutive professional football games. That means he never gave way to an injury or anything like that. 282 professional football games consecutive that he played in. He actually started in 270 out of that 282 games. So all but 12 games he started as a professional football player. Marshall recovered 30 fumbles in his professional football career. He had 127 quarterback sacks. That's pretty impressive. He was one of three defensive players that came known as the Purple People Eaters back in the heyday of the Minnesota Vikings. Some of y'all shaking your head, and you remember when the Vikings, that you know, they in the 70s, they had a stretch there where they actually won four Super Bowls, and Jim Marshall played in all four of the Super Bowls that the Minnesota Vikings have won. That is a pretty impressive resume, even if you're not a football fan and you don't understand a lot about football. That's pretty impressive. But Frankie, if you'll bring down the lights here for just a moment. Because I want you to watch something. Out of this impressive resume that we have of Jim Marshall, this is the most memorable moment in Jim Marshall's football career that strung out from 1960 to 1979. Almost 20 years, 19 years of professional football. This is his most memorable moment.
Looking. Dives. Stops. Throws. Completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down. Loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way. Safety, scored a touchdown, he scored a safety.
So out of that impressive resume that Jim Marshall has, you just saw his most remembered moment. Probably one that he would like to forget, when he ran the wrong way. There's nothing more tempting and tantalizing to a defensive lineman than to score a touchdown. And he thought he was doing good. He thought everything was doing great until he found out that the opposing players, which I believe it was the San Francisco 49ers, ran up and began to hug him because he just scored them 2 points. Wow. This morning I want to preach to you a message about running in the wrong direction. Running in the wrong direction. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to a very familiar portion of Scripture. And that familiar portion of Scripture is in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. And my slides messed up there on me. But chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 of Jonah. You get where I'm at anyway. In Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3, very familiar story that we probably have taught or were taught in Bible school and in kids' church, in Sunday school, heard it preached probably humpteen times. But the Scripture reads that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he said, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." Wow. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, listen to this, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you add your blessings to this part of our service in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we saw in the video clip, Jim Marshall running the wrong way, you know, I think lots and lots of times that you and I as believers, though we are a faithful team member, sometimes if we're not careful, we will find ourselves running in the wrong way. You see, what happened to Jonah, if you begin to look at the map, you'll find that Jonah was supposed to leave the area of Joppa, which Joppa, the port of Joppa, is in Israel, and it's right on the coast. And Jonah was commissioned by the Lord to take a trip slightly northward, if you would, into the great city of Nineveh, and there to preach in Nineveh is what the Word of God tells us. And actually to preach a message demanding repentance or calling for repentance. Nineveh was 550 miles from where Joppa, the port of Joppa is. And yes, in that day that was still quite a bit of a journey. But yet Jonah decides that he's not going to do what God is calling him to do and what God has commissioned him to do. And he decides that he's going to travel across the sea and land to Tarshish. And he leaves Joppa and he goes to Tarshish, which is some 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. God was calling, if you would, he was calling Jonah to go eastward, but Jonah decides, "I'm going west." In other words, he goes in the opposite direction of what God has called him to do. Now, you and I, sometimes we would like to sit back and say, "Well, I've always done," you know, and we use that adage, "I've always done my best." You know, I'll be very frank with you this morning. Well, I say it myself, but I've tried through years of discipline. I try to avoid saying that I've done my best at least when I'm talking about my service to the Lord. You know what? Because I realize more times than probably not, I fail to do my best and I fail to give my best for the Lord. Because, you know why? Because sometimes my passion for other things is overwhelming, and I won't give the Lord the best of my time. I won't give the Lord the best of my finances. I won't give the Lord the best of my talents. I won't give the Lord the best of whatever it is in my life that I have. Sometimes I just sort of give Him the leftovers. And you know, Carrie's sitting back there, when I think about leftovers, I think about Carrie Hellman Dollar. You know, and we all know it's an inside joke here, a voice of praise for those of you that are maybe watching by Facebook Live or listening by radio. Carrie saves leftovers. He is the leftover king. There's probably leftovers out there in his truck right now for two or three days past, you know, unless, you know, he's, you know, eat them all up and he hasn't restocked yet. But you know, sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, I had some leftover beef last night at the house. But there's nothing wrong with eating leftovers, but you know, sometimes we give God our leftovers. Sometimes that we don't really do our best. You know, if I were to go to a restaurant, which I probably will when service is over this afternoon, and if I go into a restaurant and I order some food and I pay whatever the price is for that food, you know what? I expect me some fresh food to come out. If they bring me something out and it doesn't, and it's cold or it doesn't look too good or it looks like somebody else has already been eating on it, I'm probably going to ask them where they come from. If they tell me they just brought me leftovers, guess what? I'm going to be upset. But how many times do we give God leftovers? How many times do we give Him less than our best? Jonah traveled 2,500 miles to try to get away from the Lord. If you look at the map that's up there before you, I want you to notice that has that 2,500 miles to Tarshish. When he gets to Tarshish, basically in Jonah's time, Jonah has traveled to the end of the world to escape what God has called him to do. Because in his understanding, in the greater knowledge of his time, Jonah has traveled to the sea coast to be as far away from God as he can possibly get. But he gets to go even further than that as we look at the story and we think about the accounts. But here's what happens. You know, we preach so much about sin, and there's things that we as believers look upon, and even unbelievers, there's things that we have been taught sin, and rightfully so. Because there are things that are sinful to us. But you know, the Bible teaches us to know to do good and not to do it. Do you know that is sin just as well as the other sinful acts that we can do in life? And Jonah knew he had a call. Jonah knew he had a commission. God spoke specifically to him and told him not only where to go and do the call, but why, how to do the call. But Jonah decided he wasn't going to do that. He was going to leave, and he's going to travel 2,500 miles, roughly, to escape the Lord. He's going to travel to the end of the earth. And in doing so, Jonah sinned. He sinned in disobedience. He sinned in not trusting God. He sinned in the sense that he was not committed to God to give Him everything that He could give him. And there's three things that I want to share with you this morning. There's three things that sin will do to our life. And in particular, I'm speaking to us this morning. I'm preaching to you all about the sin of disobedience. I'm preaching to you about the sin of not following and not fulfilling what God has given us to do. Three things that sin will do to us. Number one, sin will take us further than we ever intended to go. And you see, that happened to Jonah, because Jonah thought, yeah, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going to the end of the earth, so to speak. But when he got there, listen, we know there was something else that happened. We know something else occurred. It took Jonah to the depths of the earth, to the bottom of the sea. That God created a large fish that swallowed Jonah. We know that story. It's more than just a childhood proverb. It's a story. I believe it's a true account, because it's included in Scripture. And the fish took Jonah to the depth of the sea where God, and listen, that's where Jonah had his come to Jesus moment that we talk about in this day and time. And sometimes you and I, because we have pursued a path, we have pursued a route of disobedience, you know what? Sometimes you and I have to have come to Jesus moments in our life. Come to Jesus moments are not always pleasant. In fact, they're really never pleasant. Come to Jesus moments are when we come to that place where He has brought us to, we have no other resource. There is no other course of events for us to take than turning to Him and saying, "Yes, Lord, here I am. I will go. I will be submissive." The second thing that happens to us that sin will do to us, this sin of neglect, this sin of disobedience, sin will keep us longer than we intended to stay. I believe that. Sin will keep us longer than we intended. There are people, and you may be listening, you may be watching, you may be sitting in this room, and sin took you farther than you intended to go, and sin has kept you there longer than you intended to stay. I can't help but think about the prodigal a little bit when I think about these principles, because the prodigal had big ideas of what would happen in his life. He was going to party. He was going to have a good time. He was going to enjoy life. It took him further, and it took him deeper than he wanted to go, and he ended up staying longer than he wanted to stay, no doubt in my mind about that. And that's what sin will do to us. That's what happened to Jonah, because we're going to touch on it some more here in a little bit, but understand it. It was only 550 miles for Jonah to get to where he was supposed to be, but now, because he had ran from God, now he had 3,000 miles to travel back to his called appointment. And when we begin to think about where sin will take us, where the sin of disobedience, where the sin of unbelief, where when we know that we've got something to give for God, but yet we neglect to give it, and we're supposed to be going east, but instead of going east, we go west, and we find ourselves at the end of the earth, and we think that's a place we can escape what God is calling us to do, and what God is dealing with our hearts over, but yet there's a big fish that will swallow us, and that fish will take us to the bottom of the sea. And there in the bottom of the sea, we have our come to Jesus moment. And then, pardon me for being so blunt, but then we get puked up. And when we get puked up, we have come to that place where that we're willing to be obedient to what God has given us to do. The third thing that sin will do, it will cost you more than you intend to pay. It will cost you more than you intend to pay. So it takes us further than we intended to go, and it will keep us longer than we intended to stay, and then it will cost you more than you intended to pay. And listen, there is cost to not walking in obedience to God. You know, we live in a day and a time when, you know, the emphasis is more so preaching God is love, and God is love, and we've worshiped Him for His never-ending love this morning in this place. God is love. But just as much as I or some of you that are parents or grandparents love your children, but it's still, it's you want them to walk in obedience. And understand me this morning, God wants us to walk in obedience. He wants us to walk in obedience to Him. He wants us to be yielding to Him. But when it doesn't change the fact that He's my son, but when my son is not, when he's not walking the way he should walk, he's still my son, but he's not making me a happy dad. And sometimes I believe that we as followers of Jesus, we as Jesus' kids, if you would, if we're not real careful, we're just like Jonah. Jonah was ripping the heart out of God because God says, this is the guy. Listen. This is the guy I handpicked. This, out of all the people in the world, I picked this guy named Jonah. And this guy named Jonah is who I want to go preach to a city that is lost. And this Jonah, we'll get into Jonah's issues here in just a moment, but exactly what Jonah thought, Jonah said, I'm going to go up there and preach. These people are going to repent, and then God's not going to destroy them. And that upset him to even think about that. Jonah not understanding the forgiveness and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. But Jonah's experiencing it himself in this situation. And when we go west instead of going east, when we go the wrong way, when we go far away from God, understand this, we are experiencing a measure of grace and the mercy and love of God like probably we never have experienced before in our life apart from our salvation. Because God is merciful to us. He was merciful to Jonah. So he was as far away from Nineveh as he could go. He was as far as he could travel. And sometimes we find ourselves being removed as far from God as we can go. Even sometimes we still sit in the church. We still come and we sit in the church. We still part of the fellowship, if you would. But sometimes spiritually we're far away from God as we can be. Sometimes we find ourselves removed to that place where we know, God, you're calling me to this. This is the things you call me to, God, but yet I don't want to do them. And that's basically where Jonah was at. I don't want to do them. I don't want to do it. You see, because what happens is Tarshish removed Jonah from the place that God was wanting him to be. And sometimes we think that the concept of out of sight, out of mind will work. And it may work in certain circumstances in your life. It may work, you know, when I ran my shop, when I had my shop, and sometimes I'd get working on a vehicle that would run up in a roadblock and I'd have trouble with it and I couldn't get it fixed or I couldn't get it repaired and I couldn't get something to fit right or I couldn't get something to go back together right. And through trial and error, I came to the place where I learned that sometimes I would just have to take a break and I would just close up shop. I would get me a hot dog with slaw and cheese and a big old order of French fries and a Diet Dr. Pepper and stay gone about an hour and come back and it just seemed like then everything would just fall in place. Out of sight, out of mind was pretty good for a few minutes. It gave my mind a break. But realize this, when it comes to the things of God, being out of sight doesn't take it out of mind in the realm of serving God. Because you and I are never released from the call that God has given us to do. Because you and I, in fact, the scripture says the calling and the elections of God, they're without repentance. And what we need to realize and understand that as we serve God, there's no way of escaping what He's called us to do and what He's called us to be. So we find ourselves as we serve God that we must be obedient to Him. We must walk in obedience to Him. We must follow after Him. So being out of sight and out of mind doesn't necessarily work with the things of God. Just because we have run from the call that He has given us, just because we have escaped the call, seemingly, Jonah thought, I'm going to be over here out of the way. God is not going to deal with me anymore. But God never lost sight of Jonah. God never released him from the call. God never released him from the responsibility. And I've got news for us. He's not going to be that way with us. Because that call, that election, that movement of God is without interruption. So ignoring something doesn't change the reality of its existence in God's plan for your life and my life. We can ignore it if we want to. We could say, well, it's not really there, or if I don't address it, if I don't do it, then God's not going to hold me accountable for it. But that's in reality not true at all. Because we never can escape that. We can never escape what God is calling us to do. So what causes us to go west? What causes us to go west? For Jonah, what caused it to go west? Number one, Jonah was from Israel. Jonah hated the Assyrians. Jonah hated the Assyrians. He despised them. That's what every good Jew was supposed to do. So Jonah said, why am I going up there and preaching to those Assyrians? Because what's going to happen, God? They're going to repent. They're going to listen to what I preach to them. And then what's going to take place is you're going to turn around and spare them after I've traveled 550 miles and I went up there and preached hellfire and brimstone to them. And then they're going to repent and you're going to let them. And I don't like it. You know, sometimes in our lives, As believers, you know what? We have difficulty in following God because we don't like what God's going to do. Do you realize that? We don't like it because we don't like what God is going to do. And so sometimes we can sense that and we know that. So sometimes it's good for us just to go west. Because God, if you're going, you know, I know what you're up to. I see what you're going to do. And Jonas perceived that. He realized that. He said, so I'm just going to go west. I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to be humiliated. And I don't want to see those Assyrians redeemed to start with. So Jonah decides that he's going to go west. You and I have similar struggles. You and I have struggles because we think sometime that but just simply because that if we disobey God, then it's never going to happen. Or God's going to do something that we don't like. You know, we think that if we be kind to somebody that we don't, you know, maybe God's calling us to go to somebody. You know, I guess it's bad for me to ask this question among church folks. But probably more likely, don't raise your hand, but isn't there somebody that you really don't like? Some of you looking at me and saying, it's you, Pastor. No, but there's somebody that you don't like. But what if God spoke to you? What if God began to, in your spirit this day, this very day, what if God began to speak to you and God said into your spirit, I want you to go over and visit Mr. I Don't Like, or I want you to go visit Miss I Don't Like, and I want you to go over and to share me, Jesus. I want you to go over and share me with those people that you don't like. Hello. Westward bound we would go, more than likely. Because Jesus, if you want them people over there to be saved, you can send somebody else. You want them people over there to get the word? Listen, well, I got a good suggestion for you, Lord. You could send somebody else. In essence, that's what Jonah was doing. And sometimes God calls us into circumstances for His service that are uncomfortable. And that's what was happening with Jonah. So Jonah decides, I will go west. I'll run from what God is calling me to do. But you know what? Jonah was the man that God had chosen the hour. And maybe you're the man, maybe you're the woman that God has chosen the hour. And maybe you're struggling with what God is calling you to do. But listen, if we can grasp hold of that is so much easier to travel east into what God is doing than it is to travel west, far away from what He's calling you to do. Because being removed from the circumstance doesn't remove the call. But here's the good news. U-turns are permitted in the kingdom of God. U-turns are permitted. You know what? There's been times in my life that I have went the wrong direction on God. There's been times that He has spoke to me and He's dealt with my heart and He said to me, I need you to go east. And I said, so long, Jesus, and I head west. There's been times in my life that God has dealt with me and I've known what God is fixing to do and what He's going to do, and because I don't like what I already know He's going to do, and because it doesn't fit my plans, and because it fits my agenda, I have put forth effort in my life. Now I know none of you all have ever done this. But I put forth effort in my life to manipulate God's agenda because His agenda didn't suit mine too well. So instead of going east, I head west. But the good news is in this story of Jonah, and we look at it and we say, this Jonah, he's a troublemaker. He's a problem child. This Jonah, he's a hard-headed somebody. This Jonah, but I want you to know this. God permitted Jonah to make a U-turn. He even coerced the U-turn a little bit, because I want to tell you, there ain't nothing much to make you turn around any quicker, I could imagine, than getting swallowed up by a big fish that's been made and going to the depths of the sea, and you're living in the belly of that big fish, whether it be a whale or not. That's debatable. That's irrelevant. But whale actually means a big fish. But Jonah lived in the belly of that fish, and he had that come to Jesus moment, and then it was all a work of grace. Now, you see, when we think about grace, we think about grace being all white and lovely and nice and pleasant and all that. But you know, the reality of it is, sometimes grace is dirty. Sometimes grace is stinky. Sometimes grace comes in a fashion that may seem ugly to us. But the whole time, it's grace at work. Understanding what I'm saying, it's the love of God at work. But sometimes the way God brings His grace about into our life, for Jonah, it was to get swallowed up by a big fish and living down in the intestine, in the belly of that fish, and then getting thrown up, regurgitated, vomited, puked, whatever you want to call it, on the coast a few days later. Listen, all of that comes forth and is a display of grace. And some of you are going through some stuff in your life right now. Some of you are experiencing some things in your life that are disgusting. Some of you are experiencing some things in your life that seem to be filthy and stinky and dirty. Some of you are experiencing things in your life, but the whole time you're experiencing that in your life, God is doing a work of grace in your life. So right now, there's some of you, your family, your children, your children's children, your friends, your neighbors, they're going through what seems to be some disgusting things in their life, but the reality of it is they're getting ready to be puked up. They've been going west too long. God's about ready to throw them up on the beach so they can turn around and they can begin the 3,050-mile trek back to the easterly point that God has given them to go. So don't be alarmed by how grace comes to work, because grace comes in some of the weirdest fashions that you can ever imagine. And U-turns are permitted. And God allowed Jonah to make a U-turn. Nineveh was still in its place. Nineveh never went anywhere. But Jonah's journey just became longer. So now grace is at work. And Jonah has the opportunity, and I mean that, and I use that word specifically, Jonah has the opportunity to fulfill what God has called him to fulfill. And for 3,050 miles, he will make his way back. Whether he went by Joppa or not, I don't really know. But the reality of it is, he makes his way from Tarshish back to Nineveh, the place that God wanted him to be to start with. It's not the place he wanted to be, but it's the place that God wanted him to be. And sometimes the place that you and I want to be is not the place that God wants us to be. Because sometimes our will has to be crucified. And I go back to that point that I'm doing my best to serve Jesus. You probably aren't. When I say it, I probably am not doing my best. And I hesitate to use that in my own life, because when we say we're doing our best, you understand what best means? You understand what best means? Best means that there's no inferiority about it. There's nothing more than you can give, because it is your best. And we find ourselves making that track back because of grace, because the fish has threw us up. So what an honor it is to be Jonah. What an honor it is to be Jonah. You know what? People criticized Peter for sinking in the water when he got out of the boat. But let me tell you this. If you've never done it, go on YouTube and do a search on YouTube of people walking on water. Some of the funniest videos you ever see. They try anything to be able to walk on water. I watched one of these guys. They took this motocross dirt bike and they put flappers on the wheel and they were going to ride the motorcycle across the water. They did good for probably, they had a big run and start and they did good for probably maybe 35, 40 feet or something like that. And then they figured out that thing didn't ride on water. And all of these videos, people try. Nobody walked on water. The only person that we know other than Jesus that walked on water was Peter and Peter's son. And we can criticize Peter for all we want to. But listen to me. I'll tell you what. He's done something none of the rest of us ever have. And we can criticize Jonah for being disobedient. We can criticize Jonah for running away from God. We can criticize Jonah because he decided to go 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. But the fact of the matter is, none of us have ever got to spend a few days in the belly of a fish, maybe Honduras, but not in the belly of a fish. And none of us in this room have actually ever experienced being vomited up by a fish since we never spent any time in the belly of the fish. And Jonah experienced those things. But the one thing that we can experience that Jonah experienced and the one thing that we can experience that Peter experienced is we can experience the grace of God manifest in our lives that even when our faith fails, even when we fail in disobedience, even when we fail in those things, that the grace of God comes along and allows us to make a U-turn. And although we've been going in the wrong direction, He makes the way that we can turn and we can go in the right direction and we can fulfill the call that He has on our life. I've got friends right now that left the ministry. I got friends right now has we use that expression backslid, and one that I thought he could have been one of the most powerful, one of the most tremendous evangelists that is around. Period. But he decided he would go west. And he's still traveling west. But I'm a firm believer. I don't believe that calling has ever left his life. And I'm believing that someday he's going to make a U-turn. Whether he gets swallowed by a fish, I don't know how it's going to happen. But he will make that U-turn and he will come back and he will fulfill that call that God has made on his life. And there may be some of you that God's called you to things. It may not be as big as going to Nineveh. But yet God has called you into some things in your life. But you have found yourself running in the wrong direction. You found yourself running away from what God is calling you to do. You found yourself in that. Now let me tell you something. As a pastor, I'm like 98% of every other pastor in the world. I'm ready to resign every Monday. Ask any pastor you know. It's called Resignation Monday, you know. Ask our, next time you talk to our bishop, ask him when he gets most resignations. He'll tell you most resignations come to his office on Monday. There's times in ministry that I have told my wife, I'd say, you know what? I'm gonna go back. I don't find me another job as a purchasing agent. I don't find me another job as a production planner. I'm just gonna find me a job in the secular workforce, and I'm gonna find me a job there, and I can go in and I can work 40 hours a week or so, and then get off, and then, you know, and I tell her every once in a while I'll go through those spells because I'm like every other pastor in the world, and give me the pastor that says they never experienced that, and I'll show you a lying pastor. And my loving, caring, adorable little wife, more times than not, she will look at me and she will say, are you called to pastor or not? And I know that's my calling. I know, and it's not always an easy calling, and I'm not looking for empathy or sympathy, okay? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying sometimes doing what God has called me to do is not easy, and I know sometimes doing what God has called you to do is not easy, but you know what? If we are running from what God is calling us to do, we will never experience the fullness of Him in the way that He's wanting us to feel and to know and to experience Him. But even if we've been running, even if we're walking in disobedience, there is still the opportunity to make the U-turn. We've been going west for too long. We've been running the wrong direction. But God is calling us today. He's saying, just turn around and come on back. And you know the reality of what all that is? The reality of it is that is nothing more than repentance. It is nothing more than repentance. It is nothing more than turning back, being sorrowful. Being sorrowful, I can tell you this, somewhere along the way, Jonah was sorrowful that he had ever hopped that ship in the port of Joppa. He was sick that he ever hopped that ship. And I don't know how he got back that 3,500, you know, miles, 3,050 miles, whatever it was. I don't know how he got back. If it was by foot, I'm assuming it's by sailing. But the reality of it is, this is the thing. God was gracious. And God gave him the opportunity to turn back and get himself on the right path. The path that God was calling him to do. And he does that same thing for us. He does that same thing for you. And grace, again, let me emphasize the one point. Grace may not look like you think it's going to look. Grace may not appear like you think it's going to appear. But yet God's grace is at work and He gives you the opportunity for us to repent and to go the other direction in the right way. I tell you what, I hope I don't ever have to get swallowed by a fish. I just don't find that fascinating myself. But nor do I ever, Lord, help me to walk in obedience to You. Lord, help me to follow You. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, Lord, help me to be difficult. Carrie, if you'll come back to the keyboard, please. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, God, help me to follow You. Because I realize that although it may seem hard to follow God in some ways, it's not nearly as hard as going in the wrong direction. It's not nearly as hard because, listen, going back, let me back up and recap this. Because here's what happens. Sin takes us further than we intended to go. And it keeps us longer than we intended to stay. And it will cost us more than we intended to pay. So when we fail and we neglect to follow God, is a whole lot more difficult than pursuing His will for our lives. When God started knocking on my heart's door about ministry, let me tell you something. I was in around 1988. 89, somewhere there, when he started knocking on my door. I wasn't too happy about it. I wasn't too happy about it. In fact, I had all kinds of things. I told God, I said, all right, God, I can do this. There's all kinds of things that I can do, God. I could do music. I can do some music ministry. I always done that, you know. I could do nursing home. There's all kinds of stuff I could do. And in fact, I tried to appease it for a number of years by being the that church at that time that I attended. There was an adult Sunday school, so I said I can appease the call actually by doing youth ministry for a while. I did youth ministry a while, and then I did adult Sunday school for a while, and you know, okay, God, I'm doing something here, I'm doing something here. But I never really did what God was calling me to do, at least not in that time. And can I say something to you right now? You know, a common trait of ministry is, so many times in ministry, the people that actually have the calling of a specific ministry, so many times, so oftentimes, are not the people that carry that ministry out. Because sometimes when we dodge and skirt the calling of ministry that God has given us, then somebody else steps up that may not have that specific call to carry that ministry out. And when that happens, I'll be frank with you, I think God blesses, I think God rewards, but I still think we lose. God could have said, all right, since you're not going to go, Jonah, I'm going to send Charlie Howard up there. Charlie's going to preach to him a little bit. Charlie Howard don't want to go, then I'll send Scott Browning up there to preach to him a little bit. Scott don't go, I'll send Frankie Clower up and let him preach to him a little bit. No, God wanted Jonah to go. He wanted Jonah to go. Jonah was his plan. Nobody can substitute for you. Nobody can substitute for you or me. It's who God wants. You're who God wants. You're who God is calling. Don't go the wrong way. Don't run westerly when God is calling you to the east. But make that U-turn. Don't make the U-turn before the fish swallows you. Make the U-turn before you get puked up on the beach somewhere. Make the U-turn. Be where God is calling you to be. Do what God is calling you to do. Minister what God is calling you to minister. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me just a moment. With head bowed and eyes closed, let me tell you something, whether you're watching by Facebook or you're sitting here in the auditorium. The one thing that God is calling every single person, regardless of who you are, where you're at, race, creed, color, anything. The one thing God is calling us to is salvation. And if we are running from the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, if God is dealing with your heart, or if you're a backslider and you're running from God and you're separating yourself from Him, you're trying to get as far away as you can. Let me tell you something. God is after your heart. He's married to the backslider. He is chasing your heart. He is in pursuit of you. Whether you're just never been saved or you're backslidden on Him, God is in pursuit of you. And if you're running west, God is ready to turn your life around. He gave His Son, Jesus. Jesus died for you. Jesus made the way that you can make a U-turn. So if you're here this morning, in this room, or if you're watching or listening, and you need to be saved, or you need to rededicate your life, if you're in this room, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand real quickly. Anybody at all? Anybody at all in this room? Okay, I assume by that response that everybody in this room is in right standing. You're comfortable with where you're at with God. If you're watching or listening by the means of media, and you need to be saved, all you have to do is call on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin, and He lived and He breathed in a human body. He was crucified, He was buried, and He was resurrected. And for that, He paid the price for your sin. And if you can believe on that, and call Him Lord of your life, declare Him and believe that He is Lord of your life with a repentant heart, the Bible says you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Simple as that. So if you haven't already, I urge you to do so. But as we here this morning are gathered together, there's some of you that maybe God has spoke to your life. He spoke things. You know what you need to be doing. There's calls. You've excused them. You've made excuses. Can I say this? I just feel this real strong in my spirit. You've even used other people as your excuse. But God has called you, but the call, and it may not be a call to preach. Every call, that's not the only call there is. But God has called you, but yet you have been running westerly. You have been going far away. Listen, you might be like Jonah. You may be three times away from where you were supposed to be. But that's okay, because God can turn this thing around for you. So today, if that's you, nobody's looking around in this room, can you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I've been running too long. I've been running too long. I know what God has called me to do, and I've been running too long, and I've run too far. If that's you, will you slip up your hand in this place today? Anybody at all? Thank you. Is there anybody else? Pastor, I've run too far, and I've run too long, and I know it's time for me to come back home. I know it's time for me to U-turn. Is there anybody else? Now, this is what I want to ask you to do. Again, those that are willing, I'm going to ask you to meet me up here at the altar. I believe in the gathering together for corporate prayer. We want to say goodbye to our Facebook audience right now. And we'll give everybody the opportunity to feel comfortable in the prayer altar service. So thank those for gathering with us today.